So, live in studio with me is Matthew Perros.
Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you here. So, you're going to sit down with me and tell me a little bit about what's going on at Bishop University from your perspective. So, sure. first of all, what is your position at Bishop University?
Well, I am one of three Canada research chairs who started up in July of this summer. And the position that I have is one that is mostly research-oriented. I do a bit of teaching. I'm going to be teaching two courses starting in January, but most of my time is dedicated towards research. So what I'm in the process of doing now is building a new laboratory that's going to be placed in Johnson Building, and buying equipment for it and so forth, and also recruiting graduate students and postdocs, and also hopefully some undergraduates as well. And I'll be undertaking a number of research projects, and like I said, also teaching them.
This laboratory you speak of, what's the laboratory going to be geared to do? Like, what type of research will you be doing?
Well, let's see. I guess the simplest way to sum up what I do is, the technical term is that I'm a paleoclimatologist. And what that means is that I'm a guy who studies climate change in the past over the long term using geological records. So this is going to be a laboratory geared towards that. And what we're looking at is sort of, we're trying to understand how climate changes naturally, and also how much it changes naturally. So how frequently things happen, what the magnitude of natural climate change is over long time periods. And what this allows us to do is to put into current climate change into a long-term context. So, you know, how unusual is it over long periods of time? So we're going to be setting up a laboratory that's going to enable us to look at these kinds of issues scientifically. It's kind of like a geology or sciences laboratory. Technically, I'm a physical geographer, but what we are going to be doing is mostly collecting a lot of our evidence from sediment cores, in the same way as some people might look at evidence from Greenland and from Antarctica. They take cores of the ice, and that gives you information about past climate changes. I collect most of my information from lakes and bogs, and this information, this material, will be brought back to the lab and analyzed at Bishop's.
Oh, very neat, very neat. How far back are you going to plan to look?
Great question. Yeah. People look back, you know, thousands of years to tens of thousands of years to millions of years. It really depends where we look and what kind of question we're going to be asking. Generally speaking, most of the kinds of records I look at go back thousands of years, maybe to the last ice age, which ended around 10,000 years ago. I might go a bit beyond that, and this is going to, I'm going to look at things all the way up until the present as well. One of the other things I'm interested in is also archaeology, so basically ancient peoples and how they adapted to and dealt with climate changes in the past. So for that reason, I tend only to look at records over the past couple thousand years or so, because that's when most of the sort of things that we can see in the archaeological record occurred.
So where do you start, like Mesopotamia, Sumer, or Greek culture?
Culture? It's definitely some people, definitely lots of people work there, and they do great work. I've been doing my graduate work, so my master's and my PhD were done at sites in Cuba. So I was working in the Caribbean. That's an interesting story how I got started there, but that's we can maybe talk about that later. And then I was working in the Arctic for a while, doing some research there, and also in Eastern Canada. So it's mostly, I guess, North America and the Caribbean. There's lots of interesting stuff to study around here.
Oh, very neat. So I ask this question to everyone.
Sure.
And the question is, what is your story about coming to Bishop University?
What is my story about coming to Bishop's?
How does the narrative flow for you? You can start wherever you want.
So I finished, I guess, when I finished my PhD, which was in 2005, and then I got a job, a position at University of Ottawa, working, and I was in a great lab and learned a lot there. And then what I was doing was applying for jobs and so forth, and finally a job ad came up for this position at Bishop's. So I applied and got an email back with saying that my application had been highlighted as one of interest, I suppose. And then I came in for an interview, and things snowballed from there.
How did you find the campus when you first came?
Oh, it was beautiful. I'd never been here before. I'd never been to the Eastern Townships before, but I knew of its reputation. I knew how beautiful it was by what people had told me. I had friends who I was in high school with who went here for their undergrad degrees, and everyone spoke about it very highly. So definitely I was very impressed when I arrived.
Oh, good. Maybe we should jump back the story a little bit to Cuba.
Sure.
And what you were doing down there.
Well, like I said, I started my did my master's and my PhD on some work there. And originally I went down, there was a really interesting archaeological project that some people from the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto were looking at in collaboration with a bunch of Cuban scientists. And what they found, actually what some fishermen on the north coast of Cuba found a number of years ago, was a very well-preserved and very, very large prehistoric village that had consisting of wooden houses and all sorts of things that had collapsed into the water and had been preserved very, very well, much better than anything else for the tropics. So they were doing a big investigation there, and what they wanted was someone who knew something about the geography of the area to come down and look at that aspect of it, to look at the environment. So I ended up going down to do that, and have been involved with working in Cuba ever since. So it's been definitely been very interesting. It's a fascinating place, and lots of interesting research to be done there.
Oh, that's very fascinating. What did you guys find? Did you find anything of note?
Well, like I said, I mean, the archaeologists themselves uncovered evidence of a giant village, a prehistoric one. I found some really interesting information about the how the environment's changed over time, like how sea levels changed. And what I have right now is I'm working on a project to do with trying to understand the history of hurricane variability in the Caribbean over time. So the idea is that hurricane frequency, how often they occur, and also their magnitude, so how strong these storms are, hasn't been constant with time. It's changed in the past. Sometimes it's been more intense, sometimes they've been more frequent, and at other times they've been less intense and less frequent. So what we're doing is we're looking at sedimentary records that give us information about past hurricane strikes to try and figure out when these times have been, and also what has caused changes in frequency and changes in magnitude, because this gives us information that might help us understand how hurricanes are going to be changing with global warming over the next, 100 years or so.
Okay, very cool. Neat. That's a very interesting line of research, I have to say.
Thanks. There's a bunch of people working on this stuff. I'm not the only one, and some great colleagues and collaborators who are, who've pioneered this kind of this endeavor. So I'd also add that, next year I'm hoping to extend this from the Caribbean to sites in eastern Canada, because as you know, we had Hurricane Irene here about a month ago, and big impacts in terms of rainfall and so forth. And there's the Canadian Maritimes definitely gets impacted by hurricanes and causes a lot of damage in terms of money and infrastructure and so forth. So there's definitely a need to understand these kinds of things here in Canada.
So your position focuses mainly on research over teaching. What projects are you starting to begin? I know you're a new teacher.
Sure.
You haven't been here for too long. Could you maybe describe what projects you're starting up or hoping to start up?
Yep. I've been here since July of this summer, so I am, as you said, quite new. Well, in terms of from the research point of view, I mean, we're going to be sort of continuing with this this hurricane research that I was talking about just now. But I also hope to do some local research. And in fact, tomorrow morning, I and a couple of students of mine are going to be going out to the Johnville peat bog just east of Bishop's. And what we're going to be doing is taking some sediment cores out there. And, we're interested in studying how, when these bogs first formed and how they've evolved and how they've changed over time. And the Johnville bog is a really interesting site, because if you go there, what you'll see is that the vegetation is really quite abnormal for this part of the country. It's actually more typical of a subarctic type of environment, something from northern Canada. And what that means is that we can use this local peat bog as a kind of experiment for understanding how northern peat bogs work. And northern peat bogs are very extensive, but they're also very important for climate change, because they are sources and sinks of greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide and methane. So, while we see peat bogs as being sort of very inhospitable places, things that aren't too pleasant to be in, they are incredibly important for the climate system. So they're important things to study and important things to figure out how they actually work.
And any other projects?
I think that's the main project that I'm working on right now is something a little bit more practical, and that's getting the lab up and running. So where renovations are starting pretty soon. And like I said, there's going to be equipment purchases and so forth. And this is a fairly long process. And then you know, I'm always looking for new things to do. So if students do come to me with ideas, you know, I'll definitely consider those. But, you know, while the position that I have does emphasize research, there is teaching involved too, and I'm definitely happy about that. I wouldn't want a position that was all research, mm-hmm. because I do want to, you know, get to know the students and engage with them and so forth. And I'll be teaching two courses starting in January.
What courses will they be?
One of them is going to be climate change. Okay. So it's already on the books in the Department of Environmental Studies and Geography. And the other course is going to be a new one called Ancient Civilizations and Their Environments. So this kind of touches upon what I was talking about earlier. So it's the idea that if we take the example of the ancient Maya, for example, so these are the people who lived in the Yucatan Peninsula and parts of southern Mexico, mm-hmm. Thousands of years ago. They built a very complex and a very advanced civilization, pyramids and so forth. And then about 1,000 years ago, their civilization changed very abruptly. People use the word collapse, and what this meant is that population decreased and people moved from urban centers into the countryside. And for a long time, people were puzzled why this occurred. Some scientists have suggested this is actually due to climate change that occurred in the past, that there's actually was a big drought then, and there's a lot of scientific evidence to point towards that. So that's the kind of stuff we'll be looking at in this class, is looking at ancient civilizations and ancient peoples, how they both impacted the environment, so what effects they had on their ecosystems, and also how climate change affected them as well. And I think what will probably be, what we'll probably find out throughout this course is that we're not the only people in history who have had profound impacts upon the environment.
Very interesting. Very. I mean,
thanks. You should take the class.
I've been sitting here thinking, like, maybe I should take that class. So that seems very interesting. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
Sure.
And we'll be back in just a few minutes. Moving Thoughts with Matthew Perros.
That's right.
So we were talking about your research, how you came to Bishop's, yep. Your position. Very interesting classes, very interesting things you're working on.
I hope so.
For me, I find it unique because it's a mixing of fields in a way.
Yeah, that's. I started off as an undergraduate in archaeology, and this was at the University of Toronto. And, you know, I was always very interested in that. And then what I started to do was I gradually gravitated towards physical geography classes. Mm-hmm. I liked the field trips, so I made a lot of friends. It was literally like that. It was that simple. And I had some great profs in both geography and archaeology.
Right.
And then for my master's, again, it was more... tended to be more geography and so forth. So, but I've always been interested in doing interdisciplinary work. You know, there's other people who do this kind of stuff, and probably not enough people as well. So, it's, you know, if I can sort of cross those disciplines, it's great.
Yeah, I find, you know, like my own degree, I'm clinical psychology and religion, and I find when you hybrid two fields together,
yep.
I, in a sense, you get more out of it.
They kind of
reflect on each other, and they kind of, especially with you, physical geography and anthropology,
yep.
They kind of just synergize and amplify each other in a way.
Yeah. So I'm hoping in some of my classes that we'll get both science students and also social science humanities students as well, because I think, you know, all groups can sort of gain, and you know, everyone can contribute as well, and everyone can learn from each other.
Yeah, exactly. So the next question is, how do you, your projects, interact and benefit the Lennoxville Sherbrooke community directly? How do you feel that your projects will interact and benefit just the local community?
Well, I think in terms of the local projects we're doing, so like what I mentioned about the Johnville peat bog, where we're going tomorrow, I think working locally and even the stuff I do elsewhere as well, I mean, what it does is it, you know, it brings potential exposure to the community. People are interested in what's going on locally. They might not realize the research potential of sites like the Johnville Bog and others around here. So, for example, we're actually going to be working with a film crew tomorrow from Canal Savoir, and they're going to be filming us, and I believe this is going to be shown sometime in February. So it brings exposure to the kind of stuff that's going on at Bishop's, because there's some great research going on there, and this is just one way that we can get that message out. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of just more on a more practical level, you know, the kind of work we do there has benefits for issues such as conservation and the management of these systems. So what we'll be doing is the information that we provide and we generate is going to be ultimately, you know, given back to the city of Sherbrooke and to the community as well. And, you know, this is stuff that they can use. Mm-hmm. And I suspect we're also going to probably be engaged by talking to school groups and so forth as well. So there's lots of different ways that we can give back, and that's important because, you know, most of our research funding is public, and, you know, the public supports us and provides for us, and I think it's important to sort of give back in that regard.
And how do you feel that the Lennoxville, Sherbrooke, Eastern Township communities can come and help your research? How can they come to benefit you and make your research easier and make it more expansive?
That's a great question, and I think I mean, I'm always keen to establish a dialogue between myself, my research group, and the community. A lot of the scientific work we do is fairly technical, and what it does is it requires, you know, long periods of training, a lot of training and so forth. So I think there's a number of ways that we... It's sort of difficult to have people be involved directly, so such as volunteering with us in terms of field work. But I think, you know, there's ways we can definitely learn from the local community as well. Like, we can go and talk to people, and they can tell us about sites, they can tell us about what's happened in the past and so forth. So, you know, I think there's definitely a lot of potential for interaction in that regard.
If someone wanted to contact you, yep, to give information to help you out, how can they do so?
Well, I think I'm definitely open to that. The best way would probably be by email. My email address is mperos@ubishops.ca. What I have is information on the departmental webpage concerning my research, some publications, and contact information. I'm also head of the MUSCLE group, which stands for Multiscale Climate and Environmental Change. And this is a research group that's been formed at Bishop's University to facilitate research on climate and environment, and this consists of at least a dozen faculty members who all have similar overlapping and complementary research interests. And what we're going to be doing, we're in the process now of setting up a fancier website that will provide a little bit more information about contact details, and also about our research projects with photos and so forth. So that should be up soon, and people can definitely visit that and learn a lot more about what we do.
Well, I thank you very much for taking your time out to come on to Moving Thoughts.
My pleasure.
I found you are doing some very interesting stuff.
Thanks. It's, my pleasure, and thanks for the interview.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.